no, it's on there already, because Tana, it's on the desktop. It's good to see your smiling faces this morning. Let me turn this down. Okay. Our culture, that would be American culture, has a tendency to promote all other ways to be, quote, self-actualized and fulfilled. And indeed, there may be a place for worldly education and career and enjoying material possessions. But none of those things, can you hear me, Larry? Batteries in here too.
Okay, here we go. We're going now. Maybe I didn't turn it on. Okay, so for Larry's benefit, are we on, Larry? Can you hear me? Technology only goes so far. Our culture promotes all sorts of ways to be self-actualized and fulfilled. And there may be a place for worldly education and career and enjoying material possessions, but none of those things will provide the satisfaction like meaningful relationships with God, correct? And the family in the home. There's just no substitution. And that's what we were centering our thoughts around 2 weeks ago when we were looking at Hannah, who is a person in the Old Testament that we read about, a profile of a godly mother. And we looked at this quote here, "No nation is ever greater than its mothers, for they are the makers of men, the architects of civilization." This is our three main points. She was devoted to her husband. We spent 2 weeks ago looking at that. To God and her family. Her name means gracious, compassionate. She saw the divine perspective, and you'd need to read the second chapter, verses 1 through 10 there. It's that praise, that song of praise, remember, that she gives to the Lord God. And I do not recall if I mentioned this or not, but does that remind you of what Mary said and praised God in Luke, the second chapter? Yeah, and they both brought in concepts of God defeating his enemy and using his strength and his might and connecting that with what God has given them. And that miracle of taking away their barrenness, especially in her case, and providing a child. I thought that was interesting, that how they appeal to the power and might of God all the way down to the And it's not a simple thing. It's a miracle, really, the child being born in a womb, or raised in a womb and being born out of the womb. We're going through this in our family. My great-nephew and his wife just had a child taken out of the womb, cesarean, because it was 28 weeks along, 1 pound, 6 ounces, but it was not growing. And I think that's in your family news. So our prayers are with that family, because that's not the way it should work out. But our technology is amazing, and maybe we can pray for that, and you can help us pray that our technology will keep this baby alive. It is breathing on, it's a girl. She's breathing on her own. And, I would actually, Karen and Andy are there now. I would actually like to be there and if I could even get close and see that baby and the miracle that takes the power of God in forming a child. And this is what Hannah desired. She strongly desired to have a child. She was the wife of Elkanah, a God-fearing person, man, who went year by year to offer sacrifices at the tabernacle. All right? What else do we look at? She's the mother of Samuel, woman of character, lives up to her name. This was our first point. She had a right relationship with her husband. They shared worship together. She evidently married a devout man, and we get inklings of that out of that chapter. I like that point at the end. Godly fathers make being a godly mother so much easier. Do you agree with that? We looked at that quote. They shared love together, worship together, love together. Hannah received a double portion. His love was her security, so they shared worship and love together, and that eliminates major conflicts. We spent a little time on that. The missing ingredient in all this was a child. Which brings us to our third point on your outline. She was devoted to God. She had the right relationship with God the Father in heaven. Do you see that there? We're in 1 Samuel. It'd be great if y'all had Bibles. And if you have Bibles with you, it'd be great if you could open them up, read along with us. 9 and 10. 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 10. Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. And Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, your footnote might say bitter of soul, prayed to the Lord and wept. So she's turning to prayer here. What could she have done? And it would be a great temptation to do. A number of things, right? She could lash out and take her anger out upon Peninnah, the other wife of Elkanah, right? Could have been very jealous and bitter towards her. She could have taken her bitterness out upon her husband, Elkanah. But apparently he felt just as bad as she did about not being able to have a child, is what it sounds like. And she does not turn on her rival's children. That could have been a temptation. Treat them ugly. And as far as we know in the text, it's not telling us. But evidently she did not turn on them and take her anger and ugliness, any ugliness, out on anybody else. This is where she takes her emotions and her passion, her feeling, her emptiness, to her broken spirit even, to the Lord. She is true to her name, isn't she? She is gracious, right? And she is compassionate. She wept bitterly. What does she want to do? What does she end up doing? In verse 11, she made a vow. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and forget not your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come upon his head. Now, this is possibly, could be, maybe, the Nazirite vow. Now, if parents were going to dedicate their children to a Nazirite vow, it couldn't be just the woman doing that. The parents had to agree to that, which would mean, if this is a Nazirite vow, that Elkanah was in on this with her, and they were in agreement. They were in agreement. They were a team, as we mentioned 2 weeks ago, together, working together on this. And it was the parents' decision, if that's what this was. And it shows their devotion to the Lord also, doesn't it? Verse 12, and it came about as she continued praying for the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. She was a woman of fervency. She continued in this. Okay? And again, what was she? Here's the red dot. Everybody see that? Can you see that, Mo?
I do now.
Yeah. She had a passion for God's best. And what was it? What is God? What is one of God's greatest gifts? Yeah, that's right. Children. Back up there in verse 11. Do you know what's interesting to me is that in Malachi, if we were to go to the last